After a bit of a hiatus, we're back to ordinary time this week. I'm sure that you've heard this before, but we don't use the word ordinary to mean that this period of time is common or uninteresting. We use the word ordinary because the weeks during this period are known by their relationship to one another. This is week two, for example. We're using the word ordinary then in the same sense that we use the word ordinal, that is, referring to the counting of the weeks. Ordinary time is actually one of my favorite times of the year. My son Declan probably can tell you why just by looking at me. He'd be too embarrassed to shout it out right now, but he could tell you. Green is my favorite color, so he keeps track of that sort of thing. And so in addition to hearing more about Jesus' ministry, I get to wear my favorite color for a number of weeks. Win-win, I guess. Despite that we've moved into a different liturgical season, though, our gospel reading this week does tie directly to the readings that we've had since Christmas. This was actually pointed out last week, but following Christmas, our gospel readings show how God was revealed in different ways to different groups of people, to the Holy Family, to the shepherds and wise men, to the Jews and Jesus' contemporaries through his baptism. And today's reading continues that. Jesus reveals himself through the miracles that he performs too. He reveals himself to have power over nature. So notice how different people interact with and react to Jesus in that narrative. First is Mary. In this reading, we have the first mention that John makes of the mother of Jesus. She hasn't been introduced in his gospel yet. It is Mary who notices that the wine has run out. And in Jewish custom, this would be extremely embarrassing to the groom, hosting the wedding in particular. But notice what she says. She does not ask him if there's something that he can do about it. She does not ask him if it's possible for him to fix this problem. She simply tells him that the wine has run out. He responds, and then she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary knows Jesus. She knows him in a way that we should strive to know him. She knows that he can do something about this if it's his will. When we turn to God in prayer, do we do so certain that God knows what we need? Or are we a bit more tentative than that? It's not just about having faith that God will do what's best for us. That should be a given. But this reading is exactly why we know that having a personal relationship with God is necessary for us. Mary's actions show that she has faith that Jesus will act, for sure, but it's because that she knows Jesus, that she doesn't need to explain herself, or ask if there's something that he can do about it, or tell him what she thinks he should do about it. She knows that he will hear her prayer, and he will do something about it if he can. That ought to be our relationship with God. We should be turning to God in prayer frequently, without ceasing, as Paul tells us in his letter to the Thessalonians. And in doing so, we form that relationship with Jesus, so that when we do have something for which we need to turn to him, or with which we need help, that we know Jesus well enough to trust him and to have faith in him. We all have a person or persons in our lives that we go to just to talk and bounce things off of, right? For some of us, it's a spouse. For some, it's a sibling. For some, it's a parent or a child. And for some, it's a friend. It's that person that you are comfortable with, so comfortable with, that you know is going to listen to you, knows how you think through issues, knows what you've been through, and is going to provide good advice that you can use. No matter what the issue is, you know that person well enough that you can explain it and get an answer about what to do. That's Mary and Jesus. That should be us in Jesus. The more we pray, the more we take seriously our duty to put God first in our lives, the more we build that kind of relationship with Jesus. The kind where we can turn to God with our problems and issues and know that he'll guide us. Prayer can be difficult. It can be hard to discern how God is interacting with us or responding to us in prayer. And so it takes time. But if we're consistent and we pray without ceasing, we can come to know God better and see how he acts in our daily lives. So what about the disciples then? There's not much mention of them here, but the disciples are a good example for us in this story too. The chapter prior to what we have in today's gospel is Jesus beginning to call his disciples. And this gospel reading ends with the statement that the miracle was performed to reveal God's glory and that his disciples began to believe in him. Put yourselves in the disciples' shoes. Sandals, sorry. Some were disciples of John the Baptist, and in a passage in John's gospel before today's reading, we learn they began to follow Jesus because John referred to him as the Lamb of God. Others were called directly by Jesus. Then they witnessed Jesus' first miracle, and they begin to believe. Would we believe that quickly? Remember, they didn't have 30 years of getting to know Jesus as Mary did. So for them, it was something like day one, somebody tells you, see the guy, he's the Messiah. Day two, he turns water into wine, good wine even. At that point, are you willing to leave everything and follow him yet? So think back to the book of Exodus. How many signs did it take Pharaoh to believe that the Lord was with Moses? Aaron's staff turned into a snake, followed by 10 plagues. It was only after his firstborn had died that Pharaoh relented. Why? Because his magicians could replicate some of the same signs that Moses performed, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened so as not to believe. He was skeptical in the same way I think we are usually. Would we really begin to believe in Jesus as quickly as the disciples did? They did because they came to know Jesus and knew that he was God. Seeing the miracle helped because he revealed his glory to them. But they were open to receiving it because John testified as to who Jesus was and they came to know him. If what we take from Mary is that it's important that we know God, what we take from the disciples is that we have to be open to seeing God and recognizing him acting in our lives. If our hearts are hardened such that we don't want to see God acting in our lives, it might just take 10 plagues for us to see it, and all the gnats and frogs and pestilence that comes with them. But if we're open to seeing God acting in our lives, then we can see a miracle, recognize it for what it is, and help us grow closer to God. One last thing to note about the gospel today. Is it important that Jesus' first miracle happened at a wedding? I think there's a good argument that it is. The Bible opens with the union between Adam and Eve and closes with the wedding feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. In our own cathedral, the scene of the wedding at Cana is depicted in a window right over there, which unfortunately you probably can't see because it's dark outside. But it's depicted over top of a depiction of the marriage between Esther and Ahasuerus. You can read in the book of Esther about how once she was married to the Persian king, Queen Esther used her position to save her people, the Jews. She placed herself at risk and convinces the king not to eradicate the Jews. The Jewish holiday Purim commemorates that act. Whenever throughout the Bible God enters into a covenant with his people, it is symbolized through marriage. In today's first reading, Israel is compared to an unfaithful spouse when the covenant is broken, and God promises to take Israel back to espouse her. Jesus, the divine bridegroom, calls us to him as a bride to a husband. By the new covenant, Paul says he will become one flesh with all of humanity. So it is in continuing that symbolism that Jesus' first miracle occurs at a wedding. The story takes place in Cana of Galilee, which is where Jesus will meet his disciples again after the resurrection. He has the servants fill the jars with water, which is not what they need. He transforms that water into wine, and by doing so, continues the wedding feast. He took what they gave him and made it more perfect. Not unlike Jesus taking on human form and making humans more authentically themselves. Like the water turned into wine, we can be reminded that Jesus took on human nature to make us more perfect. This story is in a way prefiguring of the resurrection. By performing this first miracle then at a wedding feast, the story continues the very message of the gospel. So it's not ordinary. It's not common. It's not uninteresting. Through this miracle, we can continue to see Jesus revealing himself to us.